You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part win. Of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your just team win. Every day.
Just win. Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders Podcast, Monday's edition. Your boy Q. You can find me on Twitter at all times, at your boy Q254. Of course, we're not talking about a Raiders win because the Raiders did not win on Sunday. They lost to the Chiefs 40-33. I'll tell you right now, I didn't expect a shootout. I expected the Chiefs to put up a lot of points, but I didn't think the Raiders could score with them like that. And to my surprise, they really did. So big ups to the Raiders for hanging with the Chiefs and making the game a really interesting game and, you know, kind of down to the wire. For a minute there, I kind of felt like, hey, you know, this is a game that the Raiders might steal. I was pleasantly surprised of the way that the Raiders played on Sunday. Three turnovers. Each running back fumbled once. Doug Martin got the thing started, then DeAndre Washington, and then Jalen Richard. And those three fumbles are huge. Those three fumbles turned into 13 points for the Chiefs, and well, we already know the score was 40-33, and the Raiders ended up losing by 7, but they gave away 13 points just on turnovers alone. And then I will say one thing I didn't like that the coaching staff, John Gruden, decided to do in the third quarter, early in the third quarter, was go for two after a touchdown. I thought that was too early. I hate chasing points. That's one thing that I'll always say. I hate chasing points. You don't have to do that, especially early in the game like that. But he chose to go for two. He did not pick it up. So that was just, you know, another point that was given away. Now, not saying that they lost the game because of that two-point conversion and going for it and failing, but it's just another point given away. And, you could have looked at that point later and said, okay, 40-34. And instead of a touchdown tying the game, a touchdown would have won the game. So I know a lot of teams will roll the dice and go for two, and sometimes they pick it up, and it looks like a genius move when you do it, but I just don't like believing in chasing points, especially early in the game. I don't say you go for two until you have to go for two. But again, that's not what cost them the game. You can squarely look at that three turnovers. You can look at those three turnovers and say, those 13 points right there cost you. Each time they turned the ball over, it looked like they could have had a nice little drive going, you know, and it's just one of those unfortunate things that ball security, that's the name of the game. You got to have ball security. The Chiefs fumbled the ball to start the game, but it didn't cost them at all because the Raiders weren't able to do anything offensively. So they had one turnover and the Raiders got no points off of it. The Raiders had three turnovers and the Chiefs got 13 points off of it. So, you know, it is what it is. But again, it was a game that I felt like had a chance to get out of control pretty early and was going to be an ugly game and could have been a very embarrassing game. But to the Raiders' credit, it was not embarrassing. I saw a lot of positives in the game. Most of them from the offensive side of the ball. And I mean, obviously, you're not going to talk about too many positives from the defensive side of the ball when you give up 40 points. But there was even times there, and then the defense had a few moments, you know, making Patrick Mahomes look like he was human, not looking like the Patrick Mahomes that he was all season long. And look, I mean, he threw the ball 38 times, and I think Derek Carr actually had a better completion percentage than Patrick Mahomes. So he had a good day, obviously. He scored 40 points is a good day. Mahomes had four touchdown passes on the day, so you know how that goes. But again, like I said, there was a few moments here and there where, you know, I like to play like Conley had a play in the end zone where he broke up the ball and had an opportunity to intercept the ball. But man, when Patrick Mahomes throws it, he's throwing a dart. All right, he's not throwing no just lob. He's throwing darts. So every time that Dan Fouts, and we all know that Dan Fouts is a Raider hater, but every time Dan Fouts was like, the Raiders should have intercepted that. Do you know how fast that ball's coming? Do you know how fast that ball? He was talking about Tahir Whitehead, the linebacker, also had an opportunity to intercept it in the game. And yeah, he did, but it was also a fastball, and he's a linebacker. Patrick Mahomes is a baseball player. So he throws the ball like a fastball. He don't have touch. And that's why he overthrew a couple of the deep passes, because he doesn't really have that soft touch. Ultimately, the defensive side of the ball is going to need the most work. But I did enjoy what I saw from the offense. I thought the offense looked really good. I was impressed with the run game, getting 174 yards of rushing. No, 171 yards rushing. That's right. The Raiders defense gave up 174 yards rushing. It was pretty funny, man. Ultimately, if you look at the game, it was almost like identical statistically. I mean, it really was. That's why I continue to go back to those three turnovers that the Raiders had, because that is the difference in the game. Everything else looked statistically just about the same. Passing yards, just about the same. Rushing yards, just about the same. Time of possession, just about the same. The only difference is the Raiders had three turnovers that gave up 13 points, and the Chiefs had one turnover and gave up no points. That is the difference in the game, ultimately. It really, really is. I mean, I could boil it down. I could break it down. I can dissect every part of the game if you want me to. But ultimately, if you look up and down, just to verify, looking up and down the stat sheet, looking at the numbers, everything is pretty much the same except for the turnovers. It's simple as that. It was good to see Jared Cook and Jordy Nelson out there balling. Jared Cook, he's been doing his thing all season long, but it was nice to see Jordy Nelson actually make an appearance again. Rookie Marcel Aitman had 2 catches, 16 yards, but he had his first NFL touchdown, and he showed what he could do the best, which is be a threat in the red zone, go up there and make a basketball player type move, because he was a basketball player. And you can see on his touchdown catch, he probably pushed off a little bit, but whatever, everyone pushes off. Probably pushed off a little bit, but he really just boxed out the defender. Boxed him out, went up, got the rebound, aka the ball, and got that touchdown catch. So Marcel Aitman, that was big. That was big to see him get into the end zone. And again, a 7th round rookie out of Oklahoma State. Not expecting a whole lot from him, but just to see little flashes here and there is all good. And looks like he could be someone that could possibly grow into something for this Raiders team. So that was good to see again. Not overly disappointed by the outcome of the game, and actually, like I said, was very, very entertained in a game that I thought could get out of control pretty early, could get ugly, could get out of control, but it ultimately didn't. So, you know, like I said, I enjoyed watching the game, and I know a lot of folks, I got a lot of feedback on Twitter. People were texting me. Matter of fact, I got a couple calls I'm going to play here in segment number one that actually happened during the game. Selena in the OC, she was actually at the game with her daughter. She called in the 3rd quarter right after a touchdown. She was pretty pumped up. So it's a real quick call. Here's Selena in the OC with her call during the game from the stadium. That was awesome.
Selena from OC. We just scored our touchdown 4th quarter. 3 points. 3 points, and then we get to tie the game. Go Raiders!
All right, so I wanted to share that one real quick, and then unfortunately, we all know the Raiders didn't pull out the win, so Selena from the OC, she called back just to give her quick summary of the game.
Thank you, Selena, OC. It was a good game. A little too much red in the stadium, but Raider Nation still showed up. Stadium was electric. We put up a fight today, and that's what matters. We're showing improvement. And DC is still my guy, so proud of the boys today. Go Raiders. Bye.
All right, so good stuff right there. And Selena, definitely appreciate your calls and love the fact that you called actually from the game, in the stadium, in the stands, during the game. That's awesome. Game is going on. Just scored a touchdown. She's fired up, pumped up. What'd she say? I'm going to call the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line and let Q know what's going down. I thought that was awesome. Really, really cool. She did mention that there was too much red in the stadium, and I can agree. Watching the game on TV, I was like, man, there's way too many Chiefs fans there. They're way too comfortable in the Oakland Coliseum, but I totally get it. I'm just glad that you were out there representing and had a good time, even though the Raiders came up with the L, but still had a good time out there. My man, WAP, he's calling now.
Q. And swap. Hey, I'm not even mad. They played a game. I mean, despite the 3 fumbles, my God, you know, Jalen Richard, we thought we got, I give it to him. He just made a huge turnaround. But the fumbles, that dude has like the fumble in him. Like, I don't know what it is about him. It pisses me off because he always does it on important drives. Oh, whatever. You know, they put up a fight. That's all you can say. At least Derek Carr was throwing them downfield. People were catching it. You got to give it to Cook. That man has played his butt off this whole entire year. He's at the point now where he's so frustrated. He's fighting people on the other team for every yard. I want to see more people doing that. But whatever. It was a good, decent watch. At least they didn't get massacred. We didn't lose. They didn't drop 100 on us. That's a plus. I'll take that. flop out.
All right, so he said he's not mad about the game. He was upset about the fumbles. All three of the fumbles were bad. He actually gave props to Carr and Jared Cook and actually to the whole team for fighting and keep on fighting and not giving up and not getting blown out. And, you know, I'm telling you, a lot of Raider fans went into this game thinking, oh, man, it's going to be all bad. But ultimately, man, the team went out there and really did their thing. So I was pretty impressed with what I saw, and it sounds like WAP was pretty impressed as well. Now, one more call before we wrap up segment number one is from Countdown E6501 on Twitter. Actually calling from the Philippines. He got a little bit of a conspiracy theory that he wants to talk about.
Q, this is Countdown E6501 on Twitter. I haven't been able to call. I've been here in Cebu, Philippines, with a bucket of ice cold beer, and I hear that the Raiders and Chiefs are a close game. And I'm telling you that the AFC West is going to try to sucker in the Raiders and let Derek Carr have good games, and then they're going to be able to take that $25 million, and then next year they're going to pound them into the sand. Out.
All right, so now I can't say that I agree with that call, but, you know, I'm going to let him speak his mind anyway, and I know he's hit me on Twitter and said that before, that he felt like the AFC West was basically going to try to bamboozle the Raiders into keeping Derek Carr because they want to beat up on him. And I don't – hey, look, man, I don't know. I just – that sounds like it's way too complicated, and it's way too hard to win football games in the National Football League than trying to let a guy look good. So I can't say I agree with it, but, hey, I appreciate and respect your opinion. Oh, one more note that I wanted to give on the game was about the special teams unit. The punting game, still awful. The punting game is so awful. Johnny Townsend is horrible. He absolutely needs to go. The Raiders just need to admit that, hey, that was a bad pick. Rookie or no rookie, I don't care. Just cut the dude. The dude needs to go. He's terrible. I mean, just terrible. There's just no two ways about it. Kicker Daniel Carlson, though, he had a 50-yarder field goal, and he really didn't even flinch when he kicked that. It was like it was a no big deal. And, you know, that was a kicker that the Vikings had drafted early in the season, and he had missed a couple kicks, so they released him. And we all know that the Raiders are on, like, their third place kicker already this year, third or fourth, actually. I mean, the special teams kickoff unit and punting unit has been pretty bad all season long, but Carlson looked pretty good. I'll give him that. And on top of that, he had a nice little onside kick that gave the Raiders an opportunity to come up with. They just didn't. Thought Eric Harris had a real opportunity to come up with that onside kick. And I don't know if it hadn't gone 10 yards or not. That's why he didn't grab it or touch it. But, I mean, it was there. It was one of the best onside kicks that I've ever seen from a Raider. Normally, the Raiders are terrible at onside kicks. But that gave him an opportunity. I thought Eric Harris could have came up with it. He didn't. Ultimately, the Raiders didn't either. The Chiefs did. They won the game. But I like what I saw from Carlson. So I wanted to make sure I dropped that note in there as well. Now, coming up in segment number two and segment number three, I'm actually going to play some calls that I was still receiving from Friday and Saturday, going back to some of the conversations that we were having last week. So I want to make sure I get these calls out there because this is some really good stuff. So coming up in segment number two, segment number three, you're going to hear some calls. It won't be based around the game. It'll just be based on other Raider stuff that we've been talking about. So that's coming up next on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I want to tell you about my bookie. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have always been asking me for advice. Usually it's the team to bet on for the week, and I really don't know. That's just the truth. I don't know who's going to win. If you think you know, though, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, they are the best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very, very easy to use. You lay down some cash, and you'll win big today. I'm telling you, I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for your fantasy guys out there, and I know there's a ton of you, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each and every game. So join now. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Again, that's LOCKEDON25, all one word, all capitals. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back into segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q, at your boy Q254 on Twitter. And you know, any way you want to hit up the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, you can, 707-654-4693. Had some good calls in segment number one, just about the game in general on Sunday. These are just calls that I got on Friday and Saturday. And, you know, just following all the podcasts that we did last week and all the discussions we had last week. So we're going to start things off with my man Raider Tone, 661, Bakersfield representing.
Hey, what's up, Q? This is Raider Tone here in the 661, man. Man, I love all these debates that's been going on and all the Raider Nation responding back to other Raider Nation calls. You know, I think it's good for the show. it's good for the fans, and then it's good for your opinion because, you know, maybe my opinion might not be the same as PE's, but PE might have a good opinion and address something valid that has me thinking different or have me looking different. What I want to address today is the caller, I believe it's from Thursday's edition, Brian Nichols from London, and he's talking about the free agents and the accusations coming over and not really liking what John Gruden's selling, or not really trusting in John Gruden. I mean, I think he got a good point. I read an article about Amari Cooper opening up about the trade and his new home in Dallas, and he just said he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy. Why? This is who drafted you. Why you wasn't happy? You know, there wasn't no accusations coming out that he wasn't happy in Oakland before. You know, even in Tom Nally year as an offensive coordinator where he was hardly getting any touches, he didn't come out and say he wasn't happy. Now he's coming out saying I wasn't happy there. And I was clearly being misused. I didn't like the way I was used. I didn't like the way my suggestions about the defender who guarded me, what I can do against him, being ignored and watching us lose games. I mean, in some games, we still have no touches. You see, in Dallas now, regardless if his yards is even at like 53 yards, receiving yards, he still has 4 to 5 touches or 7 to 8 targets. And it's clear to see how they misusing them and how they using them correctly in Dallas. They're giving them the 4 or 5 yard plays slant over and over, and hopefully he break a tackle. And when he does, he breaks them for a big game. He's real elusive. He got bigger, stronger. He bulked up so he can break these tackles. I mean, he's going up against guys that I'm looking at some of their stats in our division that's poor tacklers. That got reputations since college that they could not tackle. And when they in one-on-one situations with Mark Cooper, and we're just not even targeting them. We're not giving them a 5-yard hitch hoping that he's breaking for 17 that you seen him doing. You seen him doing it. Dallas went to a slant, that the 10-yard slant, 7-yard slant to Amari Cooper 5 different times in that game. He caught 3 of them. 2 of them he broke. He took it for 7 to 10 yards and took it for 19 and another one for 24. 11 targets, 8 receptions. Yeah, we wasn't using them properly. So I'm worried about free agents like big-time receivers looking at our organization like, man, you go here, your numbers dropping. You know, and towards the end of their career, in the middle of the career, they worry about the numbers because that's what's getting them in the Hall of Fame. That's what's getting them in the Pro Bowl. That's what's getting them paid by the next team. I'm worried about receivers, top name receivers, not wanting to come to Oakland because we don't know how to use our receivers. It's criticism on John Gruden coming out about different players that left, like Bruce Irvin. Who gives a damn about that guy's opinion, but just in case somebody does, he said he wasn't happy there. You got Amari Cooper, he said he wasn't happy there. You got Khalil Mack who's saying whatever he's saying about John Gruden. So I'm worried about free agents taking heed to them players and their peers and not coming to Oakland. You know, that's what I'm worried about. All right, man. Raider Nation, just win, baby.
All right, now he loves that back and forth convo that Raider Nation was having on the show last week. Loves to hear different opinions, and he decided to address Brian Nichols' call about free agency. Mentioned Amari Cooper and how he was unhappy with the Raiders. That came from an article that Kimberly Martin from Yahoo Sports wrote last week. I actually reached out to her to try to get her on the podcast as well, so that may be coming down the pipeline in a few, so I'm still working on that. He's also worried about free agents thinking Gruden and company won't be using them correctly. So then they won't want to come to the Raiders in general. You know, they hear and see other guys that are saying that they're unhappy or their numbers are dropping off, and all that stuff is important to them. So he kind of is with Brian about that free agency, and that's going to be something to be you have to really pay attention to coming up in the offseason, because the Raiders will have a lot of free agent money. They're going to have to fill some holes, and will they be able to get the guys that they want? That is a question that still remains to be seen. So good call right there from my man Raider Tone, 661 Bakersfield representing. And now, Victor and Cali.
Hey, Keanu, Victor from Cali. Hey, a couple things. I want to talk about Amari Cooper. I watched the Dallas game last night. You know, it's obvious what Dallas is doing. They're trying to justify giving up a first-round pick, targeting him as much as possible. I don't really see him lighting it up the way the media is claiming. I think some of the best catches came out of Gallup. First round pick we're getting this draft coming up 2019, they're going to be deep in wide receivers after about the 20 spot, which is what that pick's going to relate to. So in translation, we should be able to pick up a wide receiver that will be at least as productive as Amari Cooper's been without having to pay the big contract that he was due. So, all being said, I am not hating that trade. I think it's going to work out great for us. I don't mean to keep bringing up Derek Carr, but one point I want to make, again, talking about the draft, there is, you know, this 2019 draft, we're not going to see Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, some of these surefire quarterbacks coming out of the draft in the high, you know, and that the Raiders can target. So it makes no sense to even talk about getting rid of Derek Carr. That kid from Oregon, most likely is going to be a backup on somebody's team that overpaid for him with the draft pick. I hope we never pick that high again. But if we were going to draft a quarterback, it would be this year, and there is nobody worth taking. So, love or hate Derek Carr, I think he is the guy. His contract was a lot when we signed him, but as the years go on, that's going to prove to be not a very expensive contract compared to what other quarterbacks are making. He is good enough to win a championship. I know that. Put him on a good team, and we're going to build a good team. And he is good enough to get us there. Is, you know, I know he was 12-3 in 2016. I hate to keep bringing up that one year, but it can be repeated. He's got the talent. The guy is accurate. The guy can read defenses. Maybe the chains need to be taken off him. I don't know if Gruden is playing too conservative or not. Maybe they need to just let him open it up a little bit, but put some talent out there and get blocking so we get a running game. You know, that red zone offense is awful, but part of that is because we can't open up a hole and run it in. You start making a threat down there with the running game, and the passing game down there gets even easier, and the scoring goes up. The other thing I wanted to address is the Raiders. The tempo is awful. You know, you look at the Ravens game, they came out with an up-tempo offense, and they marched down the field against the best defense in the NFL and scored with, again, little talent on our team. I don't know why they don't do that more. It's frustrating to me to see us down by two scores with 7 minutes left in a game and Carr walking up slowly to the line and check in and change in and hiking the ball with 3 seconds left and then doing it again. And, you know, why do the Raiders over and over say, you know what, let's just take our time. We know the clock is running. Let's let the defense get set and make their substitution. We'll just wait for them to get ready and go. When they play up tempo, I've seen it. I saw them do it in the Rams game. They played much better, and they were much more effective. Now, I know you can't do that every play, all game, but I don't know why they don't do it more. I really wish they would. And that goes back to again, I don't know if it's Gruden or I don't know what the offensive coordinator does. I don't know. Maybe that's a job I should have. Gruden does everything else. I don't know what Greg Olsen's doing. I would love to have something where I don't have to do anything but go to Raider games. Anyway. That's all I got. Thanks. Bye.
So he started things off talking Cooper. Thinks the Raiders can get a good wide receiver in the draft that will do a good job replacing Amari. Thinks that trade is still a good one. He brought up Derek Carr and thinks that the talk about getting rid of Carr is crazy because if you look at the quarterbacks coming out in the draft, he doesn't see any Andrew Luck, like no miss type guys. You know, he thinks Carr can win a championship. Also said that O-line needs improvement, man, to make that run game better, make the red zone better, scoring better. Everything gets better if that O-line gets better. And then also one more thing mentioned, the tempo that the Raiders run their offense with. Nothing aggressive. Would like to see them get more up-tempo. When they get more up-tempo, they look a lot better. So Raider Tone, 661 Bakersfield, and then Victor and Cali. Good calls right there in segment number two. Coming up in segment number three, got a couple more calls I want you to hear. That's coming up next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, here we are, segment number three of the Locked On Raiders podcast. This is Monday's edition. Got a couple more calls I want to get off real quick. Want you to hear, want to put in your ear hole, 707-654-4693. Starting things off, my man Zane in South Carolina.
Hey, what's going on, Q? It's Zane from South Carolina. I'm calling on Friday after the podcast, so obviously this probably won't get heard until after the game, so we'll see how that goes. First, I want to say, God, I hope we it just – the Chiefs are the one. I hate them. That time, the crossover podcast, every time you talk to him, I could sense the disrespect of that guy's voice. I hate the Chiefs. I hate their fans. They're terrible, and I hate them. And I want to win this game so bad. Or at the very least, embarrass them. Even if they win, make people question the Chiefs, you know? Like, you really, Chiefs? You couldn't roll over the what are we, 2-something Raiders? Come on, really? So I just, at least, at the very least, I want the game to go in a way where people are like, are the Chiefs really legit, you know? So, but yeah. Second, I want to touch on this Derek Carr topic. And, the quarterback is the most important piece of our franchise, or of any franchise. So I think it's fitting that we're talking about Derek Carr this much. I think we should be talking about Derek Carr this much because there are obviously questions. And I understand PE's points and Vader Raider's points, all both sides of the point. But at the end of the day, we know a couple of things, okay? Derek Carr was absolutely boss in his second year in the same system and when he had protection. Those two things. He didn't even need a good defense. All he needed was protection, and he needed I have a lot of friends, and I used to live in California. I used to live in Texas. I'll be going back, like I said. And right now I live in South Carolina. So I got friends who are fans of all kinds of teams. My best friend, like I said, he's a Texans fan. I have a real close friend who's a Chargers fan. I have another real close friend who's a Patriots fan. And those three teams are rolling on Instagram, text. I talk to them all the time. And, man, is it depressing to see them like, oh, my God, wow, we're doing so great. And I'm sitting here like, yeah, great. Yeah, here's me, another year wallowing in the pit of misery. Dilly dilly, you know? Like, I just don't know, man. Like, it's like no one in the Raiders organization. I just want them to come out, and I just want them. Like, before the game even starts, I want Mark Davis to come out, and I want him to f***ing apologize. Excuse my language. I want him to apologize just for how bad we've been, you know? Like, for the crap we have gotten all these years. God, it's terrible. We don't deserve this, man. This sucks. Yeah, that's why every time I talk to my friends, man, it's always misery for me. Because they're freaking going to the stars, and we're in the coal mine somewhere. But yeah, I really hope we win this next game, man. I think Derek Carr can be the guy, but he needs protection, and he needs offensive stability. Those are the two main things. So yeah. Let's see how this next weekend goes. Later, Q.
All right, so he was kind of talking about the game before the game, though, talking about how much he hated the Chiefs. Was hoping that folks could question the Chiefs after the game. And, you know, as we know, they didn't roll the Raiders, even though they did put up 40 points and they won. They didn't roll the Raiders. So I don't know if anyone's going to be questioning the Chiefs on today. But I do know that they'll say, hey, you know, the Raiders actually hung with that team. Like I said, they might not be dogging the Chiefs or questioning the Chiefs, but at least they're probably giving the Raiders a little bit of props for hanging with them. He also wanted to talk about Derek Carr, and he said we should be talking about Carr because the quarterback position is the most important position on any franchise in the league, which is absolutely true. Absolutely true, which is why I think that the conversation comes up all the time. But, you know, that's a good point that Zane brings up. He also said that Mark Davis or someone in the organization needs to come out and apologize to Raider Nation for this miserable season. The fans deserve better. I agree with that. I haven't heard back from Zane. I'm pretty sure he wasn't mad at the performance that the Raiders gave on Sunday. Obviously not looking for a moral victory, but it got to be feeling a little bit better than the way he felt going into the game, thinking that, oh, man, this could be a bloodbath. Just like pretty much all Raider fans. I mean, I know I thought it. Thought, man, this game could get out of control real quick, fast, and in a hurry, but it didn't. So good stuff right there from my man Zane. And now we're going to finish things off today with my man Dustin. He's actually representing from Texas.
Hey, Q. This is a first-time caller, and I've been listening to you since you started. Huge Raider fan all my life. I turned 40 the other day, so I've been watching since, I guess, Jackson pulled his hip out of socket. Anyway, I've been watching a while, and I wanted to hit on a couple things. That Vader guy was saying, Raider Nation, wake up. I don't know how to spell it out to you. But, man, I don't know how old you are or how long you've been watching or have been a fan, but most guys that have been watching as long as me or longer realize that you can't just go get a quarterback. Especially, you say, well, Derek Carr, he's a franchise quarterback, but he's not elite. Like, what are you saying? I mean, it took a decade for us to find Gannon to make us contenders then. I mean, we were just like the Browns. If it wasn't for Gannon, we'd be worse than them when it comes to how many quarterbacks they went through and busted on. But we found him, and then it takes another almost two decades to find Carr. I don't know what your option is on replacing Carr. You just go out and get an elite quarterback. That's insane. It's the hardest thing to do in sports is to find you a franchise quarterback. And to me, I've seen many, many college quarterbacks in person and pro quarterbacks. And Carr, man, I think he's better than Gannon was. It's just Gannon was in Gruden's system, you know, for a few years, and Carr's been in it for 1 year. And for being in his system, very cerebral type offense, I mean, you got to be smart. And for his first year, the reason people are throwing stats at you is because what he's done in Gruden's system, he's looked at all the other quarterbacks in Gruden's system. They not even close to what Carr's doing. And then, yeah, we're losing. I mean, not everybody wins. This is what rebuilding and breaking. I mean, he's breaking it down to bare bones. This is what it looks like. And if it wasn't Carr and I, whoever you think we should replace him with, I guarantee it'd be a lot worse. And as for this quarterback class coming up, it's garbage, man. Herbert, I mean, I like Drew Locke, but I mean, in most drafts, he'd be like a second or third round guy, trying to be a backup somewhere, maybe possibly start for a while. I wouldn't mind taking him late, like if he fell in the second or third, and then let him groom under Carr for a couple years. If Carr just can't do it, then we'll have somebody to replace him. 2020 looks a lot better with quarterbacks like Fromm and Tua, like you like Q. And, but I like Ian Book coming from Notre Dame. I think he's going to be. And that's all I got to say about that. As for the guy looking for autographs, man, if you got the money or if you save up for a little while, get a suite. They serve you a buffet up there. And the cool thing about it is you have all kinds of former Raiders coming in there, like Jeff Hostetler, Willie Brown, guys like that. And they will sit there and have a conversation with you. It's not anything you want. I mean, it's pretty awesome. And as for last thing, I was at this function not too long ago, and I saw Willie Rofe there. He told me that Al Davis was extremely close to getting a deal done with him when we were contenders, when Barry Sims was playing the left side. Al Davis was trying to bring him in to replace Barry Sims. Can you imagine that offensive line, Lincoln Kennedy, Steve Wisniewski, Barrett Robbins, and you got Willie Rofe? I don't know. Anyway, Q, love the show. Keep it up. And go Raiders.
All right, so he's a first-time caller talking about the Raiders and Derek Carr and how hard it is to find an elite quarterback. That's going back to the conversation of do the Raiders move on from him? Do they try to trade him? You know, he brought up a good point, you know, a point that I made up a few months ago that if you don't ride with Carr, then who? You know, it took the Raiders forever to find Carr after Gannon. Think about all the quarterbacks they went through between Rich Gannon and Derek Carr. That was one of my points I brought up months ago. Dustin actually likes Carr better than Rich Gannon. Just thinks that Gannon was in the system long enough to perfect it and thinks Carr is doing a good job of it in his first year and is going to continue to get better. And that's a good valid point as well, because John Gruden does have a very complex system. So that's something that you kind of have to monitor and pay attention to and see if that comes to truth. You know, it could be. It could be Derek Carr continues to improve under this new system. Also brought up the call from Regan, who was looking for autographs. Said you should get a suite at the game. If you got the money, you should get a suite. They'll give you a buffet, a bunch of former players go in and out, all that good stuff. I've only been in one suite before at a game, and they are pretty nice. But me, I prefer the outdoor element of the game. So I prefer to be outside with all the fans, not really in the suite. But I get what he's saying. So, I mean, I guess if you're caked up like that, if you got a lot of money like that, then maybe you have a good time. But if not, I just say just go sit in the stands and have a good time and hang out with Raider Nation, because that's what I would do. All right, so a great call, Dustin. I appreciate that. That was the first time caller, Dustin, in Texas. Wonder where he's at in Texas. I'm in Central Texas. Anyway, just wondering. Throwing it out there. All right, so that was Monday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Appreciate everyone chiming in. Appreciate everyone that chimed in after the game, during the game, or whatever. And I'm sure most Raider Nation feels pretty good on Monday, even though, you know, it wasn't a victory, but it sure wasn't an embarrassment either. So good job to the Raiders for hanging with the Chiefs and giving us an entertaining game to watch, even though it resulted in a loss. So that's Monday's episode of the Locked On Raider podcast. Until tomorrow, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.